you guys are a little bit older than the people that I'm normally talking to. So as most of you guys know, I'm the children's pastor here at Emmanuel Assembly of God. So normally I'm with the kids ages 1st through 6th grade on Sunday mornings in the basement of the chapel where we learn about how God's word applies to our lives. And as we know, Pastor Jason's on vacation this week. This is the last week of his vacation. He's on his way back. So if you have any complaints about what me and Pastor Josh have been doing this week, he'll be in the office tomorrow, and you can let him know whatever we've done to destroy whatever's going on around here. But I'm going to start out with a story from my childhood that's kind of going to connect to the scriptures today. We're continuing in Hebrews chapter 13, but I'm from a big family. There were 7 of us kids. I have 4 brothers and 2 sisters, 3 older brothers, a younger brother, and 2 younger sisters. Now, we didn't have allowance as a kid growing up, but my parents did try it one time when I was 8 years old. Allowance lasted for not very long, and you'll see why as I tell the story. So we already had chores. I was 8 years old, as I said. I had 2 older brothers, 9 and 10. My younger brother was 7, and my 2 little sisters. So the idea was that we were going to get $5 a week for doing the chores that we already had to do every week, which we already had to do chores. We started getting $5 a week, which was pretty cool. So we developed a scheme. My 2 older brothers stopped doing their chores, and in exchange for their $5 a week, I did their chores. So I did the chores for 3 people in exchange for $15 a week, which was a pretty sweet deal. Like, it wasn't that much more than I was already doing. I already had to do the chores. But instead, I got $15 a week. Now, this didn't last very long. It lasted for 4 weeks before we went to the video store, and I had the money to buy 2 PlayStation 2 games. PlayStation 2 was the new hot system, and I had enough money to buy 2 $30 games in just 4 weeks of getting an allowance. Now, had I thought this out, I would have not spent that much money that fast when my other brothers could get nothing. And so she stopped doing the allowance because she realized that my other brothers weren't doing their chores. But had I just been, we were already content with getting our allowance. Had I been content with getting the $5 that I was getting, which was a lot less, I could have kept that. Which that's going to tie in a little bit. So our verses are from Hebrews chapter 13. It's going to start at verse 5. But let's start with the word of prayer. Father God, I thank you for allowing us to come here today. I thank you for allowing us to hear your word spoken today. I pray that your word would move our hearts and move our minds to be closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so Hebrews chapter 13, we're going to read quite a number of verses. I'm going to read from 5 to 15, and I'm just going to read it out. You can follow along on your iPad, which is what I'm reading from, because that's the NIV, which is what's on the screen, or in your Bible. So starting in verse 5. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, and never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Remember the leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by eating ceremonial foods, which is of no benefit to those who do so. We have an altar from which those who minister at the tabernacle have no right to eat. The high priest carries the blood of animals into the most holy place as a sin offering, but the bodies are burned outside the camp. And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood. Let us then go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore. For here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking to the city which is to come. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name, and do not forget to do good and share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Now, we've been talking about Hebrews chapter 13 up here for quite a while, so that's a long time. This is the end of the series, so I'm going to try to do this in 2 minutes or less, an overview of the entire book of Hebrews, so that we can be brought up to where we're at. All right. So in chapter one, Jesus is portrayed as the savior who is superior to bulls and goats. In chapter two, Jesus is portrayed as our elder brother and that we are joint heirs with him. In chapter three, we see that the rule of Jesus is superior to the rule of Moses. In chapter four, we learn that we can enter into the rest that Jesus gives. In chapter five, we see that Jesus is our high priest. In chapter six, the discouraged believers are warned that they can find hope in Jesus Christ. In chapter seven, we see that the priesthood of Christ is better than that of the Hebrews. In chapters 8 and 9, we see that a new covenant is entered in Christ. In chapter 10, we are told to hold fast to the sacrifice of Jesus. In chapter 11, we learn about how the saints of old endured by faith. In chapter 12, we see that if they endured by faith before Jesus, how much more can we hold on to Christ's sacrifice and endure in the face of hardship? And then what we're talking about today is in chapter 13, Jesus gives some instructions, or the writer of Hebrews gives instructions for how we are to live our lives. The first point I have today, if you are taking notes, is in verse 5, which is, we can be content because God is with us. If we could put verse 5 back on the screen. All right. It says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you and never will I forsake you. This is the same God who was with the Israelites in Egypt. The same God who brought them out. The same God that was with Elijah when the prophets of Baal came and he burned up the sacrifices. This is the same God who was with the Israelites all throughout their lives. And this is the same God that's been with us. We've been through some hardships. All of us have. It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are. I talk to kids in my kids' church, and they've been through stuff that I had never dreamed of going through at 7 or 8 years old. And we've all been through things. And we can look back at those times in our lives that we've been through things. And we can say that God was with us. And he was working despite those circumstances. That he has never left us and he has never forsaken us. God is with us because he says he will be. That's his promise to us. He promised it. God doesn't turn his back on his promises. So it doesn't matter what we're going through, what we're dealing with in our lives, whether we've just lost something we love, whether we've lost a loved one, we can be content and look back at all of the times that God has worked throughout all of history and throughout all of our lives and see how he was working it together for his good and know that he's still working it together for his good. And the same God who's brought all of this together from the past is continuing to bring it together for your good. Now, I get kind of preachy every once in a while, which is probably good since I'm preaching. But if God is with you, who can be against you? You know, I've been through some hard times in my life. Now, most of you probably don't know this because, well, yeah. 6.5 years ago, my father was killed in a hit-and-run car accident. And that was a really hard time in my life, because it was completely unexpected. But during that time, the only thing I could hold on to was looking back at my life over the whole span of my life and seeing how God had worked things together up until that point. And when I looked back at the whole story of my life, I could see that God had been there working and doing things and preparing us to where we were at a point where we could handle that. And that's a hard thing to go through as a 17-year-old kid, but God was there. So the next thing we're going to look at, the next passage in here, I didn't have a very good transition there, I'm sorry, is about Jesus' sacrifice. In Christians, which I guess is going to be about, I don't know what verse, I'm just going to talk about it. In Christian circles, it can be really easily to stop thinking about what Jesus' sacrifice really meant. At Valley Forge, where we're studying theology, it's easy to think about sort of the philosophical ways that the atonement is accomplished or how its efficacy actually affects our lives. it can become easy to sanitize Christ's death to make it accessible to children and youth, because we don't always want to tell the full gruesome story about Jesus' death. That's a pretty gory story. Most of us in here have probably seen The Passion of the Christ. And for some reason, we think that's not acceptable to talk to our kids about, except that we want them to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus, and that's what he went through. It's easy to become so familiar with Jesus' death on a cross that we forget what it was like. Like, we wear crosses. I have a cross necklace. A lot of us do. We see crosses in here. We forget what that's like. But let me characterize Jesus' death in this way, his week leading up to his passion and the passion itself. Jesus was betrayed by one of his closest friends. Virtually all of his other friends abandoned him. The people who just a few days earlier cheered him at the entering of Jerusalem now cheered for his crucifixion. He was abused, bullied, and written off. Everything he had accomplished the previous 3 years was totally dismissed. And finally, after having his body beaten and battered, he was taken up on a hill, nailed to a cross, and left to die in the most humiliating way possible. This was God's Son enduring the most painful suffering imaginable. This was God who had been there at the beginning. God who by everything had been made that was made. That same God, the second person of the Trinity, was hung on a tree to die for us. This was the same God that thought you were worth it so much to humiliate himself and die painfully to reconcile himself to you. Jesus thought you were worth it. And because Jesus died for us, then we ought to bear the same disgrace. That's what Hebrews says in verse, I think it's about, 13. In Hebrews 13:13, he says that it's the same disgrace and that we ought to bear that disgrace. In Matthew 16:24-25, Jesus told us that if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, for whoever would save his life would lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And he meant it. Jesus knew what it was like. He knew what it was going to be like to go to that cross. And when he said to pick up that cross and follow him, he wasn't joking. He was telling us right then that the Christian life is going to be the most painful and humiliating experience there is. Following Jesus isn't always pleasant because the cross isn't pleasant. Jesus went to the cross and he called us to do the same. If we're here ready thinking that we're going to be Christians and we're going to always be in a comfortable environment, remember that following Jesus always ends up at the cross. We're going to lose things that we wanted to keep. We'll lose things, material possessions, friends, family, relationships, habits, our old way of life. When we follow Jesus faithfully, we have to die to these things. And it's painful. It's a painful thing to follow Jesus. And I bet you're wondering, why am I saying all of these things about how hard it is? I thought we wanted people to come to Jesus. And we do. Because even though it's painful, it's worth it. Because Jesus didn't stay in that grave. You see, the story doesn't end at the cross, does it? It goes to the cross, and it always will go to the cross. You will always lose something. It is the most expensive thing to become a Christian. You will lose literally your life. But in exchange, you'll be restored. See, Jesus didn't stay in the grave, but 3 days later, he rose again. When you come to Christ, you die to everything you had. And in time, you will be restored to everything. It'll be restored. The Lord will restore your life. And we hope for the day when Jesus comes again and we receive our resurrected, glorified bodies. And that's what our hope is. But because of the sacrifice of Jesus, the book of Hebrews says that there's a few responses that we should have to this. The first response to the sacrifice of Jesus is that we are to praise God. When we think about the sacrifice of Jesus, the first thing that we are to do is to praise God. The second thing that we have, hold on, wait a minute. Sorry. I just touched my screen and it changed. All right. We're to praise God because of the sacrifice of Jesus. And because of the sacrifice of Jesus, we are to do good to others. Because that's what Jesus commanded us to do. He commanded us to love one another. And I think that's pretty clear. When you love one another, you don't beat each other up. You don't abuse one another, right? That's how we're supposed to live. And because of this, we should share with others about Jesus. Because when Jesus has come into our lives, everything about us changes. And when everything about you changes, that change will be evident in those around you. Everybody will see that you're changed. And when you've been changed by him, you won't be able to help but share with others about him. Because when something's amazing has happened in your life, you're going to tell people about it. When people get a new car, they tell you about it. When people buy a new house, they tell you about it. When people have a new baby, they tell you about it. And when your life is totally transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ, you tell people about it. The book of Hebrews says that we should tell people about Jesus. The whole book is about the sacrifice of Christ and how that affects our lives. And what that means is that we should live a life that is honoring to God, a life that gives glory to him and does not give glory to ourselves. This kind of life is one that is exemplified by praising God, even when things aren't going the way we want. We can do that because when we look back at our lives, we see the faithfulness of God, that the same God who brought you to this point will continue to be faithful. It is a life in which we continue to do good things, a life when we show the love of Jesus, not just in our words, but also in our lives. It is a life that pleases God. It is one where we have so experienced the life-changing power of the gospel that we cannot help but share his life with others. So my invitation to you guys today is to live a life modeled by Christ, to follow him, to give up the old ways of thinking, the old habits, those things in your life that are hindering you from following Jesus. Jesus tells us to pick up our cross and follow him daily. That means that every day we have to pick up our cross, throw off those things, and follow him. It means that even though we've been following Christ for years and years and years, picking up the cross daily means that there are still things in our lives that need to be killed. Habits that shouldn't be there. Patterns of thinking that shouldn't be present. And every day, the call of Christ is to follow him and to follow him to the cross. But it's worth it. Our lives should be a life where we sacrifice by praising God and by being kind to people who aren't kind to us. Following Christ is about sharing his love with others and sharing the gospel, which is the only way to have life. The book of Hebrews is about how Jesus is superior to all other religions, how he's the only true way to have community with God, to be restored to the original plans that he had for you. And the call of Christ, the call of the scriptures, is to follow him. And it'll be the most expensive thing you ever do. I can't lie to you and say that it's easy. It's not just praying a prayer once and you've been saved. That's not biblically what salvation is. That's the start of it, but that's not the end of it. Praying a prayer one time will not get you to heaven. Making a commitment to follow Christ every day and to seek after him, biblically, is what we're called to do. And if you've been not doing that in your life, the call today is to do that. if today you make the decision to dedicate your life to Christ the first time or to rededicate your life to Christ, I'm actually not sure how we usually do that in this church. How do we usually do that in this church? I'm in kids' church, so I know how I do it down there. And follow me. Just let one of us know, all right? Let one of the ushers or somebody that had a name tag on this morning or me or Pastor Josh know. Following Jesus isn't in secret, okay? Because it changes everything about you. It's impossible to follow Christ in secret because it should be obvious in your life. So if you make that recommitment today, come talk to Pastor Josh or myself after church, all right? Because, yeah, I'm usually in kids' church. That's what I have them do down there. So that's what we're doing up here. But Jesus is the only way of salvation. And he suffered for you. And he knows what it's like to go through the things that you're going through. See, because so often we think that Jesus lived 2,000 years ago. We don't know. He doesn't know what it's like. But he does. He died for you. He suffered for you. And he understands the pain that you're going through. So I'm going to close. I'm going to close with the blessing that's in the end of Hebrews, with the benediction found in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 through 21. Now, may the... This is the blessing found in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 through 21. Actually, I'm going to have you guys do what I do in kids' church on Wednesday nights. So I want everybody, I'm going to give you some instructions on how we're going to do this. I'm going to set this down so I can explain. I'll talk louder for a second. So, in kids' church on Wednesday nights, we end every week with a blessing. A blessing is different than a prayer. A prayer is asking God for things in our lives. But a blessing is declaring God's word over your life. So on Wednesday nights, I have all of the kids sit up straight in their chairs, and then they're going to hold out their hands like this, like they're receiving a gift. So I want everybody in here to hold out your hands like this, like you're receiving a gift. Because you're going to receive from God's word what he has for you today. All right? You can close your eyes or keep them open. But this is how we're going to close this out, and then I'm going to give it back to Pastor Josh. Now, may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work with us, work in us what is pleasing to him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Pastor Josh.
Awesome. All right. Well, what else is there to say? That's good. So if you need prayer for anything, if you are making a decision or would like to rededicate your life to Christ, I'm going to be right here. Pastor Caleb's right here as well. You can just come on up. We'd love to pray with you. If not, then we just say, God bless you guys. Have an incredible week. Go out and be the glorious bride that he created us to be. All right, God bless you.